And good morning. Good morning to you watching across the fruited plain from the top to the bottom, all the way around the world. Those of you watching in other countries, good morning or good afternoon, good evening to you. What a day this is. Are you excited? Yeah, my name is Greg Stevens. I'm an associate pastor here at Eagle Mountain, and I am filling in for Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson this morning. And I want to pick up from last week. First of all, thank you to so many of you. We had wonderful testimonies. I get it. I see that. And lives were changed. Then there are a few of you. I lost you by the wayside. And so I want to tell you right now, get your Bible, because there's going to be a lot of verses, okay? And we always do post the notes, and those will be posted up later for you as well. You ready? Yes. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we honor you. We worship you this morning. We lay aside all the things that we came in here with, all the things that we've been carrying from the week, the things that we're looking forward to that we've got to do next week. We lay those aside right now to sit at your feet. We ask you to wash us in your word, that we'll never be the same in Jesus' mighty name. Father, give me clarity of thought and purpose to accurately describe to these people what your word says concerning your name and your blood. We give you praise for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. All right, so I'm going to pick up. First of all, let me show you a verse in James chapter 3, but I want to pick up from last week. Let me just say this. If the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse can happen. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? I'll give you an example of two cars. Not very far from here. How far is the Texas Motor Speedway from here? What, 15 minutes? 20-minute drive? Not far from here is the Texas Motor Speedway. And they race NASCAR and all kinds of cars there. Now, I've had both of these vehicles in my life. I've had a four-wheel drive pickup truck, which I liked a lot. And I had a Corvette, which I liked a lot. They both have four wheels and an engine, right? Seats, stereo. They both do the same thing. They take me from here to here and back. That's basically their purpose. Is that right? If I take the Corvette to the Texas Motor Speedway, that could be a fun day, because that's its purpose. Do you understand? If I take the Corvette deer hunting and drive it down the riverbed, and what are you laughing at? They're all looking at me like, are you nuts? I try to climb up hills with it. I try to cross pasture with it. And what's going to happen to the vet if I take it four-wheeling? Well, now I can do it because it has four wheels and an engine. I can do it. Is that correct? Not very well. It will abuse the Corvette. If I take the four-wheel drive pickup truck and take it to the Texas Motor Speedway and try to take one of those banks at 100 miles an hour in it, I'm liable to roll that four-wheel. Is that right? It can do it. It can drive around the track. Can't it? But it's not its purpose. And so when I was talking about the blood and the name, using them for their correct purpose. Now do you see it? I'm not saying, I had somebody ask me, did you say we're not to plead the blood? No, and yes. Okay, because I'm talking about the purpose of the thing, knowing which tool to use. So, another bad example. A scalpel and a meat cleaver, both cut. Doc, in the surgery in the ER, I should use the scalpel on certain things and not a cleaver. Hopefully, right? They'll both cut. I was going to do the scalpel and a chainsaw. I mean, they both cut. But the usage of that person will be greatly diminished. Okay, let's go on. James chapter 3. When Rick Renner was here during Victory-thon, I had a great opportunity to speak with him, a wonderful conversation, and about this verse. And I learned so much from it. Rick, I love your ministry. And just every minute that he's around me, I just listen. And we'll talk about things together. James is writing, His name is Jacob in Hebrew. Jacob is writing. He's the pastor in Jerusalem. And he has an interesting situation where he has a congregation where pretty much everybody wanted to be a spiritual leader or teacher. Just pretty much the way it was, okay? And he writes this, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Isn't that interesting? And in that's James chapter 3, okay? In chapter 1, he gives characteristics of a mature believer, okay? In chapter 1, this is a person that is patient in time of trouble. That means that they're steady, okay? A mature believer in chapter 1 is a person that's patient in times of trouble. In chapter 2, he practices truth. Now in chapter 3, he has power over his tongue. All right. And this is why he talks about, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. So in this verse, the word become is genomai in the Greek. OK, I'm not going to try to do the word in the Greek for teachers. But when you look at it and contrast that with the word in Hebrew for teachers, James is not attacking the office of teacher. He's just stating that those who teach in this office, that are called to this office. Okay, let me put it this way. There's a lot of people that can prophesy, but that doesn't make you a prophet. Okay? There are many people who teach. That does not make you qualified. That does not mean you are walking in the office of teacher. And according to rabbinical tradition and the words that are used there, A rabbi or a teacher's office literally means a master teacher, okay? It takes a heavy responsibility there, and there are not many that are called to that office. And there shouldn't be many called to that office because of the responsibility of it. Paul tells you there's a price to be paid for this office. He tells Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he instructs him concerning that. I'm not turning to it this morning. So not to get too far off here. A teacher, according to the compound words used in James 3, describes not just a rabbi, but a masterful rabbi. It means this. It's a person that by precept and example will accurately unfold the word of God combined with the nature of God. They won't separate the word from his nature or his character because you cannot do that. And so you won't take the word and use it. Like I used an example last week that was used in America where they took the word concerning slavery and said it was okay to have slaves. You can't do that. You with me? You can't take it and twist it to something else. All right. So Jesus at many times in his ministry will cross religious tradition, okay? He will teach line upon line. Jesus will state the word in such a way that if you're challenged by it, and this is for us too, if you're challenged by it, you have to determine, is this my tradition or is this the will of the Father? Because every new revelation you get, every experience you get, how many of you weren't raised in Word of Faith? Okay, the first time you saw somebody ha 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 laughing or a running service, what did you do? Anybody? You kind of had that reaction? What is this? What are they doing? You have to renew your mind to every new experience. How do I do that? By the word. How many of you were not raised in a faith church? So the first time you heard about God's faith, about faith and speaking the word and the authority of the believer, you had to renew your mind to that. Am I right? And so now I'm saying that again today. If you don't know the purpose of laughing, if you don't know the purpose of running, if you don't know the purpose, you see what I'm saying? Then abuse can happen. You guys okay with me? All right. So let me show you something. Jesus will state in the word in such a way that if you're challenged by it, you have to determine, is this my tradition that's being challenged or is this the word of God challenging me to come up to another level in him, right? Israel was designed to be a master teacher, to teach the nations. And the teacher of Israel is the promised seed, and his name's Jesus. Okay? He came from the Father as his spokesman. The words that I say to you, they're not mine, but what the Father would say. Yet, he's saying the Father's words, and it's causing the people to go, what? Guys, even so much that his cousin, John, at one point will even say, are you really the one? Because you would have loved John. John was a Nazarite. You know what that means? John didn't drink any drink, alcohol, wine, didn't touch it at all, did not even come near it, wouldn't handle it, didn't eat grapes. Come on now. He was holy, holy, holy. Didn't cut his hair. It was a Nazarite. And so Jesus is doing everything contrary to John. I mean, the very first miracle, they bring buckets of water past him and it blushes, you know? You'll catch that later. So many people were offended at him. Jesus will even tell you that. And he said, they're going to be offended at you for my name's sake, okay? So on more than one occasion, you're going to reach, because you guys understand, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I go and I study every single thing about him as if I was sitting there with him, all right? On more than one occasion, he said, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. And that right there was I've got to renew my mind moment. Either this man is true and what he's saying is correct, or I've got to stay with what I've heard said. The woman with the issue of blood, when she had heard of Jesus, she heard something different and faith rose in her. So Jesus challenged tradition of men. So when you experience something new in God, you must renew your mind to it. I'm going to say that again, okay? You've already said that. I'm saying that on purpose many times. Now, last Sunday, I did not say don't plead the blood. I mean, I did, but I did not mean it in the way that you took it. I did not say it in that context. We live in a new covenant with better promises and better benefits, and the world wants to magnify differences. Don't get caught in that trap, especially during this election season. Don't get caught in the trap of magnifying differences. Yet in the kingdom of our Savior, we're one. There's no Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male, female. We're one body, his body. Okay? Acts chapter 17. Let me show you Acts chapter 17. Paul is preaching to a people that have made a monument to the unknown God. And he says this, New King James, Acts 17, 24. And then I'm going to read out of the Passion. A lot of verses today, so get yourself ready. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temple made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood, there it is. That's what unifies us. My skin color may be different than yours, but our blood is the same. Right? They don't go and do a Scottish blood transfusion for me if I need to go to the hospital. Well, he's of Scottish descent according to Ancestry.com, so we need Scottish blood. Well, actually, we need a little bit of Scottish blood and 4% Swedish. They don't do that. They just type it. A, B, O, correct?
Right.
He's made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has predetermined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Interesting. Okay, let's look at the Passion Translation. I'm going to read a little bit more of it for you, okay? The true God is the creator of all things. He is the owner and Lord of the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. And he doesn't live in man-made temples. That's different. He lives in us now. Is that correct? He supplies life and breath and all things to every living being. He doesn't lack a thing that we mortals could supply for him. For he has all things and everything he needs. From one man, Adam, he made every man and woman and every race of humanity, and he spread us all over the earth. He sets the boundaries of people and nations, determining their appointed times in history. He has done this so that every person would long for God, feel their way to him, and find him. For he is the God who is easy to discover. All right? It is through him that we live and function and have our identity. Just as our own poets, your own poets have said, our lineage comes from him. Since our lineage can be traced back to God, how could we even think that the divine image could be compared to something made of gold, silver, or stone, sculpted by man's artwork or clever imagination? Look at verse 30. In the past, God tolerated our ignorance of these things. But now the time of deception has passed away. He commands us all to repent and turn to God. For the appointed day has risen in which he is going to judge the world in righteousness. I love that. By the man he has designated. And the reproof given to the world that God has chosen this man is this. He resurrected him from the dead. The power is the resurrection. Okay? The proof and the power is the resurrection. So let's examine the blood of Jesus today and the word and the name, and let's look at both of those things with what the word says about them. You okay with that?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, you know this, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to his disciples. Take, eat, this is my body. Verse 27. Then he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood. There it is. Of the new covenant. This is my blood of the new covenant. This is my blood of the new covenant. Now, so we had blood of the old covenant and blood of the new covenant. Was that a tilt moment? Do you need to reset your neighbor? Which is shed for many for the remission of what? Sins. Isn't that beautiful? My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Let me read you the Passion translation of that. Is that okay? As they ate, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples. He said to them, this is my body, eat it, right? Then taking the cup of wine and giving praises to the Father. Listen to this. He entered into covenant with them, saying, this is my blood. Each of you must drink it in fulfillment of the covenant. Look at this. For this is the blood that seals the new covenant. It will be poured out for many for the complete, how much? Complete forgiveness of sins. Oh, man. I'm showing you what the blood's for. This blood. The blood of Jesus. The next time we drink this, I will be with you and we will drink it together with a new understanding in the kingdom realm of my Father. All right. So the blood of Jesus is for the remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. All right. It's the door to the blessing. Okay. The wonderful news about the blood of Jesus is that it was shed once for all. Okay. His blood's so powerful in redeeming us from sin, bringing us into relationship with the Father, bringing us into the family of God. It only needed to be shed one time. You with me? Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9. I told you a lot of verses. I am going slower than I normally go. You're welcome. Hebrews chapter 9, let me show you verse 22 first. And according to the law, I'm walking to the screen. I want to point something out. And according to the law, almost almost all things are purified, but not quite. Do you see that?
Yes.
So why would I want to live in that system? That's almost. You almost got there. It's like somebody telling me, we almost won that football game.
Yeah, right.
That means you lost. Come on, guys. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. Now, it doesn't say his blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Right? Okay, let me read out of the Passion Translation now for you. I'm going to begin with verse 11. All right, we're going to go verse 11 down through 26 because I want to put it in context for you. Simple language. Here it is. But now the Anointed One has become the King Priest of everything that has come. For he serves in a greater, more perfect heavenly tabernacle not made by men. And he has entered once and forever into the holiest sanctuary of all. Do you understand in Jesus' lifetime he could not go into the Holy of Holies because he's not a Levite? But in heaven he can because he's the second Adam. This is why that blood of his is so precious, so holy. Look at this. He entered once and forever into the holiest sanctuary of all, not with the blood of animal sacrifices, but the sacred blood of his own sacrifice. And he alone has made our salvation secure. How long? My Lord, somebody that could have made a Baptist would have laughed on that. Ha, ha, ha. Now look at this. Under the old covenant, the blood of bulls and goats, the ashes of a heifer, were sprinkled on those who were defiled and effectively cleansed them outwardly from their ceremonial impurities. Yet how much more will the sacred blood of the Messiah thoroughly cleanse our consciousness? For by the blood of the eternal Spirit, he offered himself to God as the perfect sacrifice that now free us from our dead works to worship and serve the living God. Like I said, he's the door. That's the door, the blood of Jesus. So Jesus is the one who has enacted a new covenant. We read that just a second ago, didn't we? With a new relationship with God. So that those who accept the invitation will receive the eternal inheritance. How long? Eternal inheritance he has promised to his heirs. For he died to release us from the guilt of the violations committed under the first covenant. Now look at verse 16. Verse 16. Now a person's last will and testament can only take effect after one has been proven to have died. I can't enact a last will and testament as long as they're still alive. Right? That'd be silly. Grandpa, you put me in your will. I'm going to go ahead and drive that truck now. No, no, it doesn't work that way. That's what the prodigal son did. Uh-oh, let me go on. Takes effect after one has been proven to have died. Otherwise, the will cannot be enforced while the person who made it is still alive. So this is why not even the first covenant was inaugurated without the blood of animals. Now listen to what Moses does. For Moses ratified the covenant after he gave the people all the commandments of the law. He took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and a hyssop branch, and sprinkled both the people and the book of the covenant, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commands you to keep." He's throwing blood on everything. All right? Later, Moses also sprinkled the tabernacle with blood and every utensil and item used in the service of worship. Actually, look at verse 22. Actually, nearly everything under the law was purified with blood, since forgiveness only comes through an outpouring of blood. Now, my grandmother did that. She threw the blood on me all the time and on everything. Okay, it's all right. Stay with me. Verse 23. And so it was necessary for all the earthly symbols of the heavenly realities to be purified with these animal sacrifices. But the heavenly things themselves required a superior sacrifice than these. For the Messiah did not enter into the earthly tabernacle made by men. He couldn't. Okay? Which was but an echo of the true sanctuary. He entered into heaven itself to appear before the face of God. When did he do that? After the death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? He went to God in our place. Under the old system, year after year, the high priest entered the most holy sanctuary with the blood that was not his own. But the Messiah did not need to repeatedly offer himself year after year. For that would mean he must suffer repeatedly ever since the fall of the world. But now he has appeared at the fulfillment of the ages to abolish sin once and for all by the sacrifice of himself. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. Once again, what are we looking at it that it does? What's its purpose? It washes you, cleanses you, opens the door to the blessing for you, and it cancels your sins. Done. Gone. That's its purpose. If you don't know the purpose, it's like driving the Corvette up and down the creek bottoms. That's the purpose of it. Let me give you more verses. You're welcome. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter number 3. Verse 24. Ready? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, how? By his blood. Through faith, there's where your faith comes in, to demonstrate his righteousness. You understand that when God wants to demonstrate his power and his righteousness to the world, he's going to use you. He's going to point to you. Look at this. Hey, Satan, look at them. Set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. That's good news. 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Okay, let me read you the Passion, verse 25. Jesus, God's given destiny was to be the sacrifice to take away sins. And now, listen to this, now he is our mercy seat. We got a lot of people trying to be on the judgment seat when Jesus is the mercy seat. Because of his death on the cross, we come to him. You understand he's not on the cross anymore? That's done? Okay. We come to him for mercy. For God has made a provision for us to be forgiven by faith in the sacred blood of Jesus. Look at it. Leave it there, please. For God has made a provision for us to be forgiven, how? By faith in the sacred blood of Jesus. So what does the blood, what's its purpose? Forgiveness, remission of sin, the mercy. Jesus, I'm about to get, something gets in my feet when I start talking about this besides my shoes, and I just want to take off. Listen to this. You need to understand something. He's satisfied with you. You have the same righteousness as Jesus. When you put your faith in his shed blood, your sins were removed. You were made righteous. You're as righteous right now as you were back then. And you're as righteous as Jesus. But I haven't done all the good things he did. Yes, you have. According to the blood, you have. Because you were crucified with him. You were buried with him, and you were resurrected with him, and he represented you before the Father. You have cleanness, guys. The new birth separated you instantly from Satan, instantly, and made you a family member with God. That's the power of the blood, Romans chapter 5. Wait, there's more. And there's not even extra shipping and handling charges. I'll just... Felt like Mr. Haney up here. Remember Green Acres, Mr. Haney? But that's not all, Mr. Douglas. For only $13.02. Romans chapter 5. Much more then, having now been justified, how? By his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified by his blood. Redeemed by his blood. Made clean by his blood. New covenant by his blood. He's not mad at you. Oh. He doesn't lose his... Oh, do I dare go this far? He doesn't lose his temper with you where you're concerned. Mm-mm. Nope. It's as if your past never happened. It's as if Adam, what Adam and Eve did, never happened. Boy, now that one, I know that was, I heard the cow fall. That may not have been the cow, that might have been the bull right there that went down. It's as if Adam and Eve's transgression never happened. Because the second Adam went before the Father with it. God, Jesus. Y'all just sat there a second. Thank you, Lord. My God, Jesus, yes. Hallelujah. My God. You can just sit there if you want, but see, that's a reality to me. That's how I go into the door. That's how I go boldly in there. It's as if that never happened. Because I'm washed in the blood. Okay, let me give you the Passion Translation of Romans 5. And there's still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration. Listen to this. What's the powerful declaration? Here it is. You are now righteous in my sight. God. So when he looks at me, my God. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. Guys, there's the gospel. That's your covenant. Ephesians chapter 1. There's still more. I'm showing you the purpose of his blood. And then we'll show you, I'm not going to get to it today. We'll finish up and show you the purpose of his name. Because now you've been given the name. You're washed in the blood. So listen to this. Let me say that again. You will never experience the wrath of God because of the blood. You're now righteous in his sight because of the blood. And now because of that, see, now there's no disqualifiers, right? So now he's given me a tool to use in this covenant called the name. Ephesians chapter 1. Since we are now joined to Christ. How many of you are joined to Christ? How were you joined? How were you joined? By the blood. So let me just ask you this. Was my truck, my old beat up truck, joined to Christ? Since we're now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood. The total cancellation of our sins, all because the cascading riches of his grace. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 now. Why do you say that about an old beat up truck? Because I used to plead the blood over an old beat up truck. And it doesn't need to be redeemed. I need to use my faith and believe for a new truck.
There you go. Amen. That's the way to handle it.
And I have a name. I have a name now that's above a name. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. For in the Son, all our sins Colossians 1:14. For in the Son, who's that? Jesus. All our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through His very blood. I don't know how many verses we're up to now, but we're over five. 1 Peter chapter 1. Is he going to do every single verse? If I need to, I will. If it's necessary. But you're starting to, I think you're starting to see a pattern. Are we starting to see a pattern about the blood of Jesus? 1 Peter chapter 1. But verse 19. 1 Peter 1:19. But the precious blood of Christ. What is the blood? What's His blood? It's precious. It is the most valuable, holy substance ever to be created. Powerful. So powerful, it took you from a devil's hell. Forever. But the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb, was sacrificed. Why? For us. The blood redeemed us, brought us inside the door. It was your entry point into the blessing. Okay? It is God that possesses the cleansing power of the blood. The blood is still His. Because He's the high priest. It's not mine. It's His. I was washed in it, but it's His. What I have now is the name and the authority of that name. Stay with me. I felt the tilt. Stay with me. You saying I'm never supposed to plead the blood? No, I'm not saying you're never supposed to plead the blood, but know the purpose of pleading the blood. Over your children, your family? You, absolutely. Okay, Acts 20, Acts chapter 20. It's God that possesses the cleansing power of the blood. You could not do that. No mortal human could cleanse with blood. I should have read you verses a while ago. Wasn't possible. But He did. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. So now here's another aspect. The flock, as a pastor, the flock, the people you minister to, He purchased them with His own blood. So that's the price. The price was His blood. You see that? As a pastor, I know a lot of pastors watch us. Look at your people covered in blood. They're purchased by His blood. I love them. I love them. I love them. All of them. Even that one. Yes, I love them. Come on, I did that all the time by faith. Oh, I did that by faith all the time. Lord, I need to talk to you about one of your sheep. And I heard one time in my spirit, I love them. Yes, sir. I love them too. By faith, I love them. Lord, increase my faith. I did that once. Increase my faith. Oh, Lord, I'll stop. So now listen to this. Which He purchased with His own blood. Okay, if I go down and purchase a house, whose house is it? If you go and you purchase a home, whose is it? It's yours. Is it His? If you purchased it, is it His? Only if you give it to Him. Whoever purchases it owns it. It's His blood. And the people that He's purchased are His. They're His sheep. All right. The power of the blood is redemption and cleansing from unrighteousness. And it's His purchase. He paid the price. The power over this natural and spiritual realm in our hands is His name, though. Let me show you Revelation 12. Here's a verse, Revelation 12, verse number 11. How many of you are waiting for me to get to this one? Thank you for honest people. Here it is. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, you never want to finish after the comma, do you? You never want to finish after the comma. and they did not love their lives to death. That's the next part of that. I didn't sign up for that. All right, let me give you a Passion Translation for this one, okay? They conquered him completely through the blood of the Lamb and the powerful word of his testimony. They triumphed because they did not love and cling to their own lives, even when they faced death. There are three things mentioned here that overcome Satan. We only want to ever mention two, but there were three. And here they are. The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, in other words, what they're saying, what's coming out of their mouth. Oh, could that be the name? The word and the name combined. See it? The blood brought me in. The name's what I use now in faith. Come on. See it? By the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and loving him over their own physical life, if necessary. Right? People often use the scripture as a reason for pleading the blood against Satan, believing they're overcoming Satan. But it's all three of those that overcame Satan. And it was done by Jesus, and now the authority of him is in my mouth. This is why James said what he said about teachers earlier when I started this. The phrase, the blood of the Lamb, is referring to the new birth. The first way we overcame Satan is by the blood of the Lamb. We overcame him by the new birth. You were snatched from his kingdom into God's kingdom the moment the blood was applied to you. You believed. You may not be living like an overcomer, but there's also a way of daily overcoming him by the word of your testimony. The word testimony is actually the word witness, and it speaks of your daily life in the world before sinners. If your witness is not an overcomer, it is the word in our witness that's the overcomer. See, the word in your witness is the overcomer. The name in your witness is the overcomer. Combined with, you're brought into the family by the blood. When you combine them together, guys, in other words, it's not just being a Christian, it's daily using the word of God in your witness before the world. First, we're overcomers because we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Once you accept him, Satan can never totally overcome you. He may momentarily overcome you. But the good news is, when you die, you're going to be forever with Jesus in heaven face to face. Even the most miserable Christian on the face of the earth is an overcomer. You're going to spend eternity with God in heaven because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But there's a way that you can live daily as an overcomer. When we study the word and allow the word to become our testimony, we overcome. We overcome demons every day without realizing it, by simply living the word and quoting the word of God daily and using his name. Let me take a break right here, show you a clip from Brother Copeland talking about the name of Jesus. Here we go.
By the name, not in the name, by the name. The name did it. Faith in the name, yeah. But faith in the name caused the name to do it. Faith in the name caused the name to do it. I didn't say it caused Jesus to do it. It didn't. It caused his name to do it. Jesus is not in the earth. His name is. And it belongs to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His name the Holy Spirit, the Father that dwells within, is present in the name. Now here you go. Here again. Go back to the concept of the tower. It's not an easy thing to renew your mind to. Because your mind really don't know what to do with it, because we're so used to saying, well, you know, in the name of Jesus. Well, not anything wrong with that, but it's very shallow. And without faith in that name, how does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. How else does it come? It doesn't come any other way. There's not any other way for faith to come. Well, I think you ought to pray for it. Well, go ahead and pray. You'll be praying this time next month, next year, next century. Because it don't come that way. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Jesus said, have the faith of God.
Wow.
Wow. Did you hear it?
Yes.
Did you hear it? Let me show you another verse here. I don't know how much time we've got. I do this stuff in the name now. I am in the family by the blood. Redeemed. Righteous. Yes? Now, I have another weapon. It's the word. It's the faith in that name. Not in Jesus, the name. He's not here. Right? You just heard Brother Copeland say that. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And verse number 4, 1 John 5, verse 4.
And he's using a lot of Bible verses today. I didn't get all of them. Well, I warned you.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. There's the blood. Come on. Because the blood is what gets you born again. The blood is what redeemed you.
Yep. That's right.
Right? So I'm showing you the blood and the name here. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You've already done that.
Yes, amen.
You've already done that. No, I don't think you got it.
I don't feel like I've overcome the world.
You've already overcome the world. Heaven's now your home. You walk in the blessing. You're as righteous as Jesus. Are you born of God?
Yes.
Then you've overcome the world.
Yes.
That was done by the blood.
Amen.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Look at a bunch of overcomers in here.
I don't feel. But Greg, I don't feel like I overcome.
Did I ask you what you feel like? I gave you a truth statement. You got to renew your mind to this. You are an overcomer. You've already won. There's no way you can lose. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You could replace whatsoever with whosoever. All right? We can replace whatsoever with whosoever. Whosoever is born of God has overcome the world. You're an overcomer. Am I going to be able to get to this next verse? Let me try. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. I'm going to go ahead and start. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That's what he did. And will be found in the fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. One time. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. When did that happen? It happened after he defeated Satan. After the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, if you're in him, because it's accounted that you did this, you have the name. God, Jesus. My God. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Verse 9 says, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, God gave him a name that's above every single name. Until that time, the name of Jesus was his while he was on the earth. It was not seen as a conquering name. Jesus' name following the resurrection, however, carries much more power and much more authority than it had before the resurrection. Prior to the resurrection, his name was used in faith and people got healed. All right? But after the resurrection, he now has the proof of victory behind it. After the resurrection, it now has the power of the redeeming blood tied to it. You see it? Do you see that? Did you get anything out of this? We'll pick it up. We're going to pick it up next week from this point, talking about the name. Take a break. Pastor George will be here in just a little while. We'll see you soon. God bless you.